Hello and welcome. I'm Catherine Woodward-Thomas, and I want to welcome you to my online seminar, The Art of Conscious Completion, How to Avoid or Heal from the Three Breakup Mistakes that Cause Suffering, Steal Joy, and Prevent Future Love. And if you don't yet know me, I'm the author of the national bestseller, Calling in the One, and the co-creator of the 7-week Calling in the One telecourse. I'm a licensed psychotherapist as well as the co-creator of the Feminine Power Transformative Courses for Women. And over the past 8 years, I've had the privilege of working with thousands of people from all corners of the globe. And this topic of finding a new way to navigate the end of a relationship is one that I have had many requests to speak about, because it does not have to be the deep trauma and the horrible heartbreak that most of us are experiencing. And I've discovered that most of the pain that we feel over a breakup is really coming from taking the wrong approach. And there is a different way that I've discovered in my own experience, and I'm really excited about sharing it with you today. And wherever you are in the process of ending a relationship, whether you are in the midst of a painful breakup right now, or if you broke up with someone weeks, maybe months, or even years ago, but you're still struggling to get over it and move on with your life, or if you're just thinking about breaking up with someone that you love, I know that you're probably feeling a bit confused and alone right now, maybe feeling estranged, not just from the person that you loved, but also from the life that you had together, maybe even the friends that you shared, or the rituals and routines that created a sense of connection and belonging, not just to each other, but really to all of life. So if you're feeling alone right now, I want you to know that I have created this call just for you so that I can give you access to tools that I actually wish I had myself at certain points in my life. And if I could just speak for a moment about what you might be experiencing right now, and I invite you just to reflect to see if any of these things fit for you. You might be feeling confused as to why life has brought you this kind of pain, maybe repeatedly, in spite of your diligent, conscious efforting of your own personal development, and in spite of being a very good and decent person. You might be spending your days just kind of going through the motions, feeling a little numb or lost, but trying your best to get past your relationship. You might find that the old wounds keep resurfacing and a terrifying hopelessness or loneliness is beginning to set in, even though you have great friends and a life that actually used to make you happy. And if you have children, you might be suffering kind of a creeping fear that your breakup has negatively impacted your children, that it's scarred them for life and maybe even taught them to not trust or believe in love, even though you may have done your very best to minimize any effect on them. You might be feeling angry or betrayed by life or really confused as you're trying to let go of that vision that you had for your future without really being inspired yet to create a new one. And you might find that your friends don't really understand why you're still hurting. So on top of losing your partner, you might be feeling under-supported by your friends too, even though they have really tried to be there for you. So if you're having any of these challenges or residual experiences, I really want you to know that you're in the right place here today, because on this call, I'm going to give you a lot that is going to really help you through these difficult experiences. Since Calling in the One was first published in 2004, I have had the privilege of working with over 100,000 people from over 100 countries to help them create love in their lives. I'm actually known for helping people get into relationships and not necessarily for how to get out of them. But having been there myself and having seen the incredible damage that bad breakups can create for so many of us, I actually feel compelled to create this new work that I'm going to be sharing with you today. You know, for years, like so many of us, I was looking and searching for the one, you know, my one true love that I was going to have a perfect life with, and yet I had this pattern of attracting in unavailable men. And I went from one traumatic heartbreak to another until I created the calling in the one process, and then very magically called in my wonderful husband, Mark, when I was 41. And then I gave birth to our daughter when I was 43. And like so many of us who were influenced by the happily ever after story, I just assumed that our relationship, which was actually quite loving and sweet, would just last forever. And yet when we decided to end our marriage after 10 years, you know, many of the assumptions and expectations I had about why and how relationships ended were kind of turned upside down, because our separation was so kind and conscious and caring. It was really nothing that I'd ever experienced before, actually had any reference for. And when I broke up with my first boyfriend from high school, I mean, I was so traumatized that I actually gained 50 pounds. And then I cried over him for 3 years, and then I dreamt about him for another 20. And then when I broke up with another boyfriend years later, I started smoking again. I stopped eating or sleeping for an entire year. And I felt so much despair that half the hair on my head fell out. And I felt so humiliated and ashamed to be single again that I isolated and stopped socializing for months. So I was really anticipating like a lot more drama and deep suffering when Mark and I decided to end our marriage. You know, ours was such this loving and caring and contained experience. Everything happened in this really mindful and very beautiful way between us. We each took personal responsibility. We listened deeply. We allowed ourselves to really hear and be each other and then be really touched by what the other had to say. We made an amends when it was appropriate. We gave each other a lot of space to be with our process. We created a lot of cohesion for our daughter. We started going out of our way, really, to be generous and supportive and kind. And when we were both going through our process of, you know, physically separating our assets, we both genuinely just came into the conversation wanting to do what was right and fair, and in this really sweet way began to almost compete with each other over who was going to give more to who. And when the divorce was final, we actually both felt really complete, and we were ready to open our hearts to other people. And without years of processing trauma and the pain and suffering that kind of dragged on and on. And our daughter is trauma-free. She's really well-adjusted. There's no toxic residue in the field between Mark and I that's creating anxiety for her. And we both also really felt ready to love and be loved by someone new, and able to be warm and welcoming of the new loves that we both fairly quickly called into our lives. So our experience of our family is not that it's broken, but rather that it's now evolved and expanded. And so I have this really touching, beautiful friendship with Mark, and he writes me notes of gratitude for being such a gift in his life. And Mark and I have really been cultivating such rich co-parenting connections. Our daughter's really thriving. She has a great relationship with both of us. And really what was at the heart of what makes this so beautiful is that I've really watched both Mark and I kind of blossom and come into our own as spiritual teachers really in this way where we've really excelled on our individual paths, really towards the realization of our greatest contributions to the world that we both felt so called to on a soul level, and it would just not going to happen if we hadn't decided to set each other free to honor the direction that we felt called to go in life. So, you know, in having this experience, I saw that breakups can actually be a very beautiful process and engaged in a completely different way. And I realized that it's not true that just because a relationship ends that this person is no longer a part of your family, or that the relationship was not viable simply because it was changing forms. And I saw that you can actually feel more loved in many ways at the end of a relationship than you can at the beginning, because at the beginning, we're often projecting onto the other person that we're going to get everything that we want from them. And so it's kind of organic and just easy to give and open ourselves up and be generous. But it's at the end of the relationship when we know that we're not going to get what we want, we're disappointed and things are very, very real, that we have the opportunity to give and receive a deeper, authentic care. So this was very, very different than any kind of ending I'd ever experienced before. But I didn't actually realize how unusual it was until friends and colleagues began to reflect back to us that they had never seen anyone break up in this way. And people started to ask me to speak to others who were going through a breakup. And then my students and my clients began to kind of hear of it, and they would approach me and ask me to teach them how to have the same experience. And so I kind of became fascinated with trying to figure out what Mark and I had just done so that I could help other people to do it too, because I saw really how much unnecessary suffering I could alleviate for people by being able to identify it. So while I have really no aspiration to become the new breakup guru, I felt compelled to share this work with you because I realize what a gift that this process has been and what it can do to actually serve the evolution of how we can begin to separate in ways that are going to protect and honor the love that the relationship was created upon. Because what I have seen in my nearly 20 years of working with really tens of thousands of people from all over the world is that for many of us, a bad breakup is one of the most traumatic things that we will ever go through. It can be almost like a near-death experience, like a bad car accident. It's one of those standing at crossroads, definitive moments in life where you can step back and see that you had one life before the breakup and then another largely unknown one facing you after the breakup. And for the most part, breakups are severely underrated in terms of the level of trauma that one might experience, and consequently severely undertreated as well. Now, there are different levels of trauma. There are mild car accidents where you walk away with a few aches and pains that get better with a little bit of treatment from a really good chiropractor. And then there are really bad car accidents where every bone in your body is shattered and you're in traction for a long time healing those fractures. So whether it's kind of a mild fender bender breakup, maybe one where you've just broken up after a few weeks of dating, but before you've invested so much of yourself in the relationship, or it's a major hit and run where you're completely totaled, where your whole life feels shattered, you didn't see it coming, where the unrealized potentials of that relationship are just torturing you night and day, like it feels like someone actually died. You know, all heartbreaks, from mild to severe, and all that lies between actually need treatment in order for it to go well. And yet, we have yet to create a way to break up that is really going to leave ourselves and everyone involved healthy, supported, healed, and whole. A way to move through the experience that's going to minimize trauma and suffering and maximize positive evolution and change. And I have a theory on why we have not yet done that. You know, collectively, inside of the happily ever after myth that was created about 300 years ago, we all kind of assume that relationships are really supposed to last until death do us part. And when a relationship ends for any other reason, we automatically just relate to it as a failure of love. So the standard of longevity has become the ultimate measure of success of any union. And that means that when a relationship ends, even if the reasons are viable or healthy and good for that ending, we assume that the relationship has failed. But the truth is, you know, just because a relationship ends, it actually doesn't mean that we failed or that there's something wrong with us. Relationships have changed more in the past 50 years than they did in the 5,000 years before. And studies indicate that it's now the norm for most of us to have at least two or three major relationships in the course of our lives. And that implies that we're also going to have one or two major breakups. It's now normal to not necessarily mate for life, just as it's now normal for us to change careers or to change the cities that we live in. With over 40% of first marriages, over 60% of second marriages, and over 70% of third marriages all ending in divorce, it is now also normal for us to change partners. You know, we desire now so much more from our romantic partnerships than our grandmothers did. There was a study done back in the 1960s where a woman was asked, if you met a man that met your criteria for a husband but you did not love him, would you marry him? And over 70% said that yes, they would. And compare that to a more recent study where a woman was asked, or where women were asked a similar question, and over 90% said no, they would not. You see, because we are no longer just wanting someone who's just going to keep us safe and secure and help pay the mortgage. We want to be inspired. We want someone who shares our core vision and core values. We want a best friend, a lover, and a soulmate who's going to be an evolutionary partner to help us realize our greatest potentials in life and in love. And so at this time of great evolution and change, where we are all called to midwife our greater potentials for creativity and contribution into the world, who is to say that it is wrong to end a relationship once it has fulfilled upon its higher purpose and potentials, and to release one another with integrity and honor so that we might continue to grow and expand in the directions that we're called to. See, inside of the assumption that a relationship ending means that it has failed, there's also a lot of shame attached to a breakup. Breakups become an embarrassment and a humiliation because we assume them to be evidence that there's something wrong with us. Why can't I figure this out? I must be really messed up, right? And if that weren't bad enough, if you have children, now you're messing them up too and dooming them to have failed relationships. We really need to begin to challenge this assumption that the end of a relationship by anything other than death means that the relationship has failed, because that's currently the covert standard that we're holding ourselves and others accountable to, suggesting that the longevity of a relationship is what validates its value. So while I am not advocating breakups and divorce, I am suggesting that we need to accept that separations are an unavoidable reality of modern day life. Because in not accepting this, we've not been developing the capacity to navigate them well. We want to see that the real damage we've been suffering from has been coming not from the endings themselves, but rather from how we are ending. And as a result of some very real mistakes that we are making in our approach to how we are bringing closure to our relationships. You know, many of us are unaware of the new life that is available to us after a breakup. For many of us, we've lost ourselves and our power in the process of breaking up, and sometimes much earlier in the relationship. Because we've been so wrapped up in the breakup, we often don't realize that we've been handed a golden opportunity for a whole new life of freedom and the possibility of unprecedented happiness, fulfillment, and love that is on the other side of this passageway that we're navigating. And that's what you're going to discover on today's call. I'm going to teach you a whole new approach that's based on what I call the conscious uncoupling, 5-step process to release the trauma of your breakup, reclaim your power, and reinvent your life. And I'm going to give you as much as I can about this powerful process today so that you can begin using some of these principles in your own life to help you navigate this heartache in a way that's going to be truly transformative. And so I'm also going to give you some of the specific tools that you're going to need in order to heal any trauma that you might be experiencing, to reclaim the power that you might feel that you've lost, and to reinvent your life so that it's even more beautiful, soulful, and fulfilling than it's ever been, even if it's hard for you to imagine that in this moment. And today specifically, We are going to look at the three most common breakup mistakes that are causing us years and years of unnecessary heartache and suffering, and stealing joy not just from our present but also from our future, and it could also prevent future love from ever taking root in our lives again. We're going to also talk about what you can begin to do instead. Because for most of us, we are fortunate if the pain and heaviness from a heartache goes away in less than 5 years. And for others, it can take decades of suffering before we fully recover, if you ever really do. You know, breakups don't just have the potential to mess you up for a few months. If they are not well navigated, they can actually take you out. The consciousness you're centered in, the decisions you make, the actions you take, the choices you're making are going to either lock you into a lesser life, or they are going to liberate you to graduate forever from your disappointing patterns in love. And the first mistake we're going to cover tonight, mistake number one, starting to hate the person that we once loved. I kind of call this moving from a soulmate connection to a soul hate connection. In an attempt to emotionally disconnect from the person that we're breaking up with, we'll go from loving our former partner to hating them, devaluing them, and even despising them. Which at first seems like a good idea because it can help us to detach from that person. But ultimately, we're going to have to learn how to disconnect in a healthy way. Otherwise, we're going to end up doing a tremendous amount of damage to ourselves and to others and completely sabotage our ability to reclaim our power and reinvent our lives. So when we replace a positive bond with a negative one, we only dig ourselves into a hole and become enslaved to the shadow side of love, unable to recover the vibrancy of our spirit and the sweetness of life. The second mistake that we're covering today, mistake number two, is failing to take responsibility for our part in the relationship ending. You know, in a breakup, we all have the tendency to point the finger at everything the other person did wrong. And that's easy to do because probably the other person did do hurtful, immature, selfish, destructive things. It's not like we're making it up. But until we can take full ownership of all of the ways that we covertly colluded with and co-created the dynamics of that relationship, we won't be able to access the power we need to create a different experience and to break our old patterns in love. So in order to reclaim your power in your life, you want to understand yourself as the source of this experience and look to discover all the ways you need to begin showing up differently in life so that you can trust yourself to never, ever do this again. And the third mistake we're going to look at today, mistake number three, is buying into the myth that time heals everything and assuming that one day, without much effort on your part, that healing and release will simply happen of its own accord. Because it is not actually time that heals everything. It's really us that does the work. You know, time can diminish the acuteness of the pain that you're in, but it can't actually forward the evolution that needs to happen in order to be liberated into the greatest possibility of love in your lifetime. So I'm going to tell you what you can do to stop making these mistakes, and also how you can begin to heal the trauma of a breakup, how to reclaim your power, how to reinvent your life better than it's ever been. And I'm also going to share with you what's possible when you engage a conscious uncoupling process, which is actually just five simple steps. And I'll let you know how we can continue our work together and go beyond these mistakes into creating a life of happiness and well-being and love. So you might want to grab a notebook and a pen so that you can take some notes, because I'm going to be giving you a lot that you can begin putting into action right away. So let's begin with mistake number one. Mistake number one is hating the person that you once loved, going from the soulmate connection to a soul hate experience. You know, the feelings that can come up during a breakup are so big that they can be very, very hard to navigate without getting ourselves into some kind of trouble. Big rage, big hurt, big despair and hopelessness, you know, big feeling of powerlessness, really huge desire for revenge, and they're all threatening to kind of overwhelm us and cause us to start behaving in ways that are completely outside of who we want to be, outside of the image that we have of ourselves as being good, kind, loving, fair, and decent people. And in the midst of these feelings, we can suddenly find ourselves out of control, so saying all sorts of horrible and undermining, nasty things that we never thought we'd say, doing all sorts of heinous, monstrous things we never really thought we'd do. It's really true that hurt people hurt people. It's almost as if we were suddenly someone else and not ourselves at all, and we're unable to stop ourselves from doing great damage and destruction to everyone and everything we touch. So the first step in a conscious uncoupling process is to learn how to hold and harness the energy of these very big emotions and transform them from the energy of destruction into the energy of construction, into the energy of creativity, into the energy of change, and allow them to serve as this powerful catalyst for you to take a leap in your own growth and development, using all of that energy that those emotions are holding to empower you to graduate forever from your old disappointing patterns in love. Because most likely, the horror that you're living right now is the repetition of your core wounds in love that began a long, long time ago in your life. And the pain that you're feeling is not necessarily a new pain. The break in your heart is a rewounding of something that broke a very long time ago, and you're now face to face with what we might call the original source wound or the original source fracture. And so part of the intensity of these big emotions is the rage within us. It's just kind of indignant that this could happen again, that the one person who was actually supposed to fix this core wounding has now ripped the scab off. It has caused you to bleed all over again, maybe even worse than you've ever bled before. And this just feels like a very big betrayal. You let this person into your life and into your heart. You let yourself be vulnerable with them. And yet rather than be your hero and your savior, they instead became your backstabber and your traitor. You know, once he was Jesus, and now he's Judas. Once she was the Eve to your Adam, and now she's just evil, period. And what even intensifies these feelings of rage more is that our culture actually encourages us to hate our former partner. You know, there are tons of books out there along the lines of dump the idiot, flush that man down the toilet. You might even have friends that call you for support, that you're calling for support. And, you know, for the first few days, they're listening, they're empathetic, they're extending their care. But then they actually just want you to get over it. And they start saying things like, well, you know, he's kind of a jerk, just let him go. He's really not worth this much effort. He's pretty unworthy of you. Forget about him. The guy is a loser. The relationship was a sham. You need to get back out there and just find someone new. Right? And that's just your friend being a good friend. But it can leave you with this really sickening sense of incompletion and failure because it completely dismisses, devalues, and invalidates that which you deeply loved and held sacred, both this person and the bond you shared with this person. Anthropologist Helen Fisher says that she believes that this tendency to hate our former partner is an evolutionary relic from the past. These kind of primitive, intense feelings that cause us to passionately renounce that which we once loved and were attached to in order to help us separate from that person and disengage from the relationship. And yet the cost of indulging this very primitive impulse towards hatred is very high, because it's all too easy to do a tremendous amount of damage to ourselves and others when our perspective is so victimized and distorted by the intensity of our big reactive feelings. And in order for this to go well, we really have to learn how to harness these big emotions and transform them into a positive force for change. A few years ago, I had a client come to me named Diana, and she was a very bright, very successful attorney. And Diana was married to a man named Brian, who was who stayed at home because he was a screenwriter, and he was also the primary caregiver to their four-year-old daughter, Stephanie. And Diana came to me just distraught and in a tremendous amount of pain, because she found out that Brian had an affair with the woman who'd been redecorating their house. And now, to kind of add insult to injury, Brian had decided that he was leaving her for this woman. So she was horrified and enraged. And even though Brian was trying so hard to apologize, really wanted to stay friends, she could barely talk to him without breaking out into a fit of rage. And, you know, for years she had supported Brian both financially and emotionally in his desire to be a film writer. She'd worked long hours so that he wouldn't have to work and he could just stay home and write and try to launch his film career. She felt betrayed on every level, and she was not prepared for the intensity of hostility and rage she felt, this kind of seething resentment and bitterness that she woke up with every morning, and the almost obsessive thoughts that she had of retribution and retaliation all the time. And at first she just acted on this impulse of hatred by hiring a very aggressive attorney who assured her that Brian was not going to get much beyond the few items that he brought into the marriage. But even though Diana, you know, she was having these big feelings of resentment and anger and she wanted to lash out, there was a part of her deep down inside that she knew she really didn't want to do anything that was going to do damage to herself or other people, particularly her daughter. So she welcomed the technique that I taught her about how to work with feelings in a way that would really allow her to use them as the energy of change in her life. And she was able to really step back and not be in so much reaction and so overwhelmed by them. And because of learning this technique, she started to think much more clearly. And she was able to see the consequences to herself and her daughter of acting out her rage that that might have on the situation, on particularly on her daughter. How would it impact her daughter to be torn this way between her mother and her father? How would her punishing behavior towards Brian impact any future relationship that she might hope to have? How did she want to behave that would actually be reflective of the woman that she wanted to be in life, regardless of what he did or didn't do? Did she really want to give Brian and his lover the power to determine the kind of human being that she herself would become? So rather than acting out in this really primitive, punishing way, Diana was able to make a conscious choice to work with all of these intense reactive feelings and begin relating to them as a sort of crucible of transformation that could help her to evolve beyond the woman she was when she created her relationship with Brian, because she was somewhat insecure, a little needy even, with a tendency to people-please and self-abandon and overgive. And so in learning to welcome in her feelings, the anger quickly softened into a sorrow that felt so deep and wide that at first she thought she might drown in it. And yet in softening into her sorrow from this deeper center, just welcoming it in, witnessing the experience with deep compassion, she could see that they were actually very old feelings that began long before she ever met Brian, with an alcoholic mother who barely spoke to her throughout her childhood, no matter how well behaved she was or how much she did to try and please her mother, how well she performed in school. And it was inside of this ability to work with these big emotions without acting them out directly with Brian that Diana was able to see the very healthy impulse underneath her anger to take a stand for her worthiness to be loved and valued. And so she took the depth of all that she was feeling and she turned it into this ferocious stand to love and value herself and her daughter throughout this transition. And inside of that commitment, she began making decisions that were in the best interests of everyone involved, including her former husband, because after all, this was the only father her daughter would ever have. So no matter how disappointed she was, she wanted to make sure that her daughter would always have a good and happy relationship with her father. So rather than punishing him, which would essentially be punishing her daughter, Diana did something rather unconventional that generated a lot of good feelings between everyone. She decided to give Brian a financial parting gift to thank him for all of the good years they'd had together and the beautiful daughter that he'd given her. And, in fact, the money that she gifted him helped him to finish the film that he had started to make, but that had gotten kind of pushed aside in the crisis of separation. And it was that film that actually launched him into the world as a screenwriter and put him on the map so that today he makes a nice living as a writer. And, you know, of course, when this happened, I mean, Brian was stunned. And he was so grateful for this very generous gesture that, of course, he began, too, to look for ways that he might also be kind and generous to his former wife. And so rather than having to hire a nanny to care for her daughter after school before she got home from work, Brian worked it out so that he was able to continue to care for Stephanie most days. And they were even closer as the time passed. So because Diana was able to disconnect from Brian in a healthy and conscious manner by learning to work with her difficult emotions in such a positive way, they're all much better off. Diana's in a new relationship with a man who cannot do enough for her and just adores her. And in fact, Diana's new man is very, very different from Brian and very good for her in an entirely new way, which is just so supportive of her own growth and evolution and blossoming. He takes more responsibility for things. In the past, she would have had to handle, you know, these things alone, and now he shows up as an equal partner. He communicates more openly. There's a lot more mutuality in their relationship. And as a result, she's actually become much more relaxed and open and has begun to discover her own creative side. So now, rather than supporting a writer, she herself is actually writing, as well as painting and learning to dance. And Brian and Diana are great co-parents to Stephanie, who now moves freely between both homes with a feeling of warm friendliness for everyone involved and an extended sense of family. So while it's not the life that Diana had originally envisioned, she found that by taking the opportunity to grow herself through the breakup, rather than to give into the impulse to hate and lash out at her former husband, she has reaped many, many benefits, which included the chance to really change her life at the deepest level. Now, most of us want to do the right thing in life. We don't want to make a mess of our lives. We don't want to damage our children. We want to be empowered to show up in ways that are decent and that are going to restore integrity and honor to any difficult situation. And yet we don't really know how to make wise, healthy decisions that are going to get us there when we're feeling so hurt and out of control. And there is so much at stake in how you navigate this difficult time, because remember, there's no fixed future. And the future that you've been planning on and hoping for has just been erased, and a new one has yet to be created. And when big disappointments happen, we can choose to see them as ultimately happening for our benefit, and yet we also have to remember that it's actually up to us to make that true. So something really beautiful is seeking to wake up in your life right now. And the bigger the shattering, the more room it has to emerge. And yet most of us just don't know how to midwife these difficult feelings and transform them into a positive catalyst for change. And when you do step one of my conscious uncoupling process, you learn how to take the painful feelings you're experiencing and transform them into the energy of change so that you can evolve beyond the old patterns of the past and begin to show up in ways that will bring healing and well-being to yourself and all who are impacted by your separation. And I'm going to tell you more about how you can do that in just a few minutes. First, we want to look at mistake number two. Mistake number two is something so common that I'm afraid that we've all done it at one time or another, and that is failing to take full responsibility for our part in the relationship ending. You know, regardless of whether you broke up with him or he broke up with you, most likely where a lot of our attention is has been on what our former partner did wrong. We tend to focus far too much on blaming our former partner. And we often ruminate on what he did that he shouldn't have done, what she didn't do that she should have done, rather than actually examine ourselves deeply so that we can begin to take responsibility for our part in how we co-created the dynamic of that relationship in a way that left us so vulnerable to being hurt and disappointed in this way. So on some level, you know, it's easier to just stew in all the ways that our former partner was wrong. I mean, after all, it's not like he or she isn't wrong. He probably should have done what you think he should have done, and she definitely should not have done what you're convinced she should not have done. You know, he may have behaved poorly. She may have been selfish. People do horrible, destructive, crazy things to each other. And so we'll ruminate about this over and over again. We'll tell that story, retell that story every which way, obsess about it, go over every little detail, trying to figure out what happened, when it happened, how it happened, how we can make sense of this experience, you know, so we can actually integrate it into our psyche. You know, retelling the story over and over again is actually normal. It is the psyche's way of trying to integrate a traumatic experience and help restore us to some semblance of sanity. We are struggling to try and make meaning out of something that just seems senseless and cruel. We're trying to figure out how to make sure this never happens again so that we can one day trust ourselves to love and be loved again. One of the hardest parts of a breakup is the insult that it is to how we think that life should go. You know, the very foundations of how we create safety and meaning in our lives are just shaken to the core. Most of us believe that if we are good, decent people, then only good, decent things are going to happen to us. We want to believe that life is fundamentally fair and that people that we treat well are going to treat us well in return. And we want to believe that true love leads to a happily ever after ending. And when a breakup happens, we can only assume that something is horribly, horribly wrong. So it's either the other person who's wrong, or it's us that's wrong, or it's life that's wrong. Our faith in the goodness of life can be completely shattered. You know, kind of in the same way that someone who's had a very bad car accident doesn't really trust getting into a vehicle for a simple Sunday drive in quite the same way she did as before the accident happened. So there's this experience of deep confusion because suddenly everything you assumed about life that made it safe for you to be alive is now upside down. Up is down, down is up, night is day, and day is night. And so we're obsessed with trying to put the pieces of our own shattered psyches back together again, just so that we can function. You know, we're desperate to make meaning of this experience in a way that is going to allow us to live our lives with some sense of order and faith in the overall goodness of life and of love. And this impulse to try and weave it all back together again by telling and retelling that story of the shattering in a way that's going to allow you to open yourself to life and to love again is actually a good impulse. The problem is that the way we're telling that story is usually incomplete and inaccurate, and it can't actually deliver the evolution that needs to happen in order for us to move beyond that story in a powerful way. So if the majority of our attention is on blaming our former partner, we are not seeking to discover what we ourselves did or did not do that co-created what happened. And that means that we won't actually harvest the growth necessary to ensure that we're ever going to be able to trust ourselves to not do it again. Because for every self-centered man, there is also a woman who's chronically self-abandoning. And for every critical woman, there is also a man who's chronically giving himself away because he's desperately seeking her approval. Yes, the other person may be messed up, but your primary attention needs to be on you so you can discover all the ways that you gave your power away in that relationship. Your mission right now is to reclaim your power and your life. And you want to begin by making a list of all the resentments you have towards your former partner for all the things he did and did not do. Because the truth is that we only resent people to the extent that we have given our power away to them. And so you want to go through that list, and you really want to look to discover all the ways that you gave your power away, all the ways that you colluded with and co-created that dynamic, how you turned away from your own deeper knowing that something was not right, how you minimized the red flags that you saw because you wanted what you wanted and you did not want to see what was right in front of you to see, how you were putting your first attention on your partner and chronically self-abandoning, how you were constantly martyring yourself in the hopes that you could convince this person to love you. So your only hope of ever graduating from these old patterns and being able to trust yourself to not duplicate them with someone new is to turn 100% of your attention towards discovering how you yourself were the source of that experience, no matter how horribly the other person behaved. You want to take full responsibility for yourself as the source of what happened, and to let the searing agony of that realization be the bottom that you have needed in order to be willing to do things differently from now on. Because once you begin to take full responsibility for yourself as the source of that experience, you're then going to start to see very clearly the core beliefs that you've been operating inside of that have been really causing the story to go the way it's been going. And once you see that clearly, you can then start to challenge the underlying assumptions that you've been operating inside of and begin to weave a whole new narrative for your life that frees you from this painful story and helps you to release these old disempowering patterns, you know, such as people-pleasing or chronic self-abandonment, just tolerating anything less than you deserve in love. So all blame and shame, whether, you know, even though it initially feels good, it actually stunts development. And the same thing goes when you blame and shame yourself, too. You know, I like to think of that as the ego's trick to stay the same. You know, because blaming and shaming yourself can't actually be confused with the willingness to engage a very grown-up, objective inquiry into how you are the source of your own experience. And if you're berating yourself and beating yourself up, you actually aren't changing. To truly evolve beyond these toxic patterns, you have to engage a process of empowered self-reflection in order to initiate and then shepherd the growth that's actually possible during this crisis. What the F is wrong with me is not empowered self-reflection. However, what was really motivating me to overgive in the way that I was I trying to buy her love? Was I auditioning for the role of wife and trying to prove that I was worth loving? Was I trying to foster a sense of dependence so that he'd need me and never be able to leave? These are the kinds of questions that are going to lead you to an awakening. It promises to deliver you a whole new way of life and love. And this is what happens when you engage a conscious uncoupling process. And it's only when you harness the agony you're in and turn it into this fierce stand to begin to do right by yourself, to never, ever, ever do this again. And then set about to make an amends to yourself by showing up in ways that are reflective of your true value, that you will be truly free to open your heart to life and love again. Only this time it's going to be a healthy, wholesome love that holds the promise of true joy and happiness. Linda and Lawrence were both in their late 20s when they met, and both had been married before. Linda had no children, and Lawrence had two grown children who lived in another part of the country. And they met after Linda did the calling in the one process, because a few years after her divorce, she felt ready to call in new love. And she worked in public relations, and he was an independent sales rep, and so he traveled a lot. And they kind of fell in love on their first date. And within a very short period of time, they were living together in her home. And for that first year, they talked a lot about marriage. But then it was somewhere in their, I think, second year that Lawrence kind of started to pull back and, rethink it. He'd been married before. He wasn't really sure he wanted to go there again. And she was really sad about that. But, she just kind of lowered her expectations and started to just take whatever crumbs he was offering. And he was still traveling a lot, but then he'd stay at Linda's house when he was in town because he'd given his own apartment up the year before. And yet he stopped paying rent because, he wasn't there that often and business was pretty slow. So he was kind of half in and half out. They weren't seeing other people, but it hadn't really ended. And it was kind of okay for a while until Lawrence had a car accident. And it would have actually been a mild accident, except that he was not wearing his seatbelt, and that had been something that Linda had been just nagging at him about for months. So he was quite hurt. He shattered several bones in his body. And suddenly, Lawrence needed constant care. He needed an advocate at the hospital to interface with the medical staff. He needed an advocate with the state, because he'd let his health insurance lapse, which was another thing Linda had been nagging him about. He needed someone to live with him who would be his nursemaid and feed him and bathe him and take him to his doctor's appointments. And at first, Linda just jumped right in and just started playing the role a wife would play. But, within a few weeks, she just started being eaten up with resentment. She felt burdened and she was confused. She was angry because he'd been so irresponsible by not wearing his seatbelt. She noticed he wasn't reaching out to his children and asking them for help. And she had realized before the accident that she wanted to break up with him, and she'd been dragging her heels on it. And now she felt really trapped and also very guilty for having all these feelings. There was this poor man that she loved and needed her help, and wouldn't she want him to do the same for her if she'd been in a car accident? And at some point, Linda just decided to do the conscious uncoupling process because she just felt so stuck. And it was in that process that she was able to move out of being so victimized by this situation and to start to see it clearly. And she saw that she had these lifelong patterns of overgiving, of giving as a way to try and prove her value to others, and that she'd been overgiving before the accident by letting him live in her home for free and by continuing the relationship without any real commitment from him. And she realized that she had very You know, he had very clearly decided that he did not want a wife. He had declined marrying her. And here she was, over giving again, acting as if she was his wife, when she actually wasn't. And the clarity of that, the self-responsibility of that, liberated her from this lifelong pattern of devaluing herself and giving away her time, her money, her care, without appropriate expectations of reciprocity. And it also became clear that the amends that actually needed to be made to her was not that he needed to apologize for anything, but she actually needed to make an amends to herself. And so she determined she was going to stop overgiving from that day forward. She was going to stop overfunctioning where other people were underfunctioning. And yet she didn't want to just leave Lawrence, you know, and add to the trauma that he'd been experiencing, you know, going through by just blowing up the relationship in an irresponsible way. She wanted to be a good, caring friend and be there for him at the level that was appropriate to that kind of relationship. So she got his children involved in his day-to-day care. She turned his finances and his need for housing over to the state. She let his new social worker find him suitable housing and nursing care. And then to create a sense of cohesion and well-being, she made sure to visit him at his new apartment at least once a week, taking him to dinner, doing other things that demonstrated her care and friendship in a way that was really, you know, she felt happy to give. So inside of this very conscious process of uncoupling, Linda and Lawrence were able to remain very good friends. She was able to support him during the time of crisis. He became so much more respectful of her, learned to appreciate her so much more. And Linda is now in a much happier relationship because she understands about mutuality. And so the way she navigated that relationship really insisted upon it and created a lot of health, and which is really, really good for her and very, very satisfying. So many of us have been really trying to understand exactly where we need to grow in order to create a different experience the next time around. And we intuitively sense that until we can grow ourselves beyond the people that we were when we co-created those old disempowering dynamics, we're not going to really be able to trust ourselves to love again. And yet we don't always know what questions to ask, what's going to really facilitate our own transformation. And so unfortunately, in trying to come to terms with our losses, we'll actually come up with questions that are going to lead us to the wrong conclusions that can actually really have dire consequences. You know, conclusions like, I guess I should never tell a man directly what I want and need, or, you know, maybe it's better to never let myself fall in love again so I won't get hurt like this. It's kind of like getting on the wrong freeway thinking that we're heading in the right direction going 60 miles an hour, but actually we're moving in completely the opposite direction of where we want to be going. So in the second week of the conscious uncoupling process, you're going to be able to move through a series of inquiries and practices that can help you see very clearly how you yourself the source of your experience, so that you know exactly where you need to grow yourself in order to have it go differently next time. You're going to be given the opportunity to identify exactly what you need to do to make an amends to yourself and begin living in a way that's reflective of your true value. And that might even make you grateful for this breakup by turning one of the worst things that ever happened to you into one of the best. And the third and final mistake that we're going to talk about today is buying into the myth that time heals all wounds. You know, it's not actually time that heals all wounds. It really is up to us to do the work. Because the wounds of love do not automatically heal themselves. Time can diminish the acuteness of the pain that you're in and reduce it to a low-grade depression where you get to the point where you're able to function again, where your appetite returns. But in the end, that heartbreak will have stolen your joy and contracted your heart and dimmed down your spirit. And it's only going to be through your deliberate and conscious efforts to evolve beyond the person you were, to learn new ways of relating to yourself, others, and life, and build new specific relationship skills, grow certain capacities, that are going to empower you to show up differently in relationship from now on. And that is what will actually heal the wound and liberate you to live and love in a way that represents true healing and evolution. So when you lose a relationship, particularly if you believe that that person might be the best possible match that there is for you in the entire world, your only hope is to commit yourself to a path of practice that's going to deliver you to become the version of yourself that has so outgrown the person you have always known yourself to be that you would no longer be interested in the relationship that you're losing. And I know that that might be a pretty high bar. And yet there are actual specific practices that you can engage that are going to support you to make these kinds of foundational radical changes in your life. For example, in week 4 of the conscious uncoupling process, I teach a really powerful exercise about how you can clear the field with a former partner, which is particularly useful if you have children to raise or if you still have a professional connection or you belong to, you know, the same social network. You need to see that person on an ongoing basis. You want to clear up the emotional residue between you. You don't want to bump into that toxic tension every time you have to see that person. And you don't want to be running that energy between you if you have children. Because as much as you think that you can hide it, you actually can't. Children are little energy sponges. They pick up everything and run it through their tender little developing psyches. And truthfully, I am not convinced that it is divorce itself that damages children. Because, and I would actually say that inside of our assumption that it's impossible to clean up this unresolved toxic tension, this residue between mom and dad, so we just kind of limp along and let it fester there for years on end, that is actually what creates damaged children and not the divorce itself. So clearing up this covertly hostile energy, neutralizing it, you know, or completely transforming it into genuine warmth is actually very hard to do if you don't know the right way to do it. And particularly if we're just going to leave it up to time. It actually requires that we learn a new relationship skill that you actually have to know if you're going to hope to have a peaceful relationship with your former partner. Robin and her husband of 19 years, Gary, had 4 children. So they were very, very interested in doing their divorce in a way that was going to bring minimal damage to their children. And so they were each very willing to do the conscious uncoupling process, and at times they did it together, and at times they did it alone because one or the other was too tender to share what they were feeling with the other, and that was fine because it gave each person the autonomy that they needed to regroup and separate in a really healthy way. And Robin had initiated the divorce because she felt that she could never really get what she needed from Gary emotionally. And she'd been dragging him into therapy for years and pretty much tried everything, trying to get him to talk about his feelings or listening to hers from a heart-centered space, extend empathy to her. But, you know, it was just unnatural to Gary. You know, it really wasn't what he needed from relationship, and it just didn't come to him in any kind of natural way. He was kind of a guy who was centered in his mind. He was a brilliant thinker. He wasn't really that connected or even interested in being that connected to his heart. So all of this chronic unhappiness from his wife just kind of demoralized him. And no matter how hard he tried to please her, he just never seemed that she was ever going to be happy. And so they decided to part ways, but there was residue there. You know, he felt really criticized as though, you know, nothing he ever did was enough. And she felt really unloved because he should have tried harder to give her what she needed. And neither one of them wanted their children to suffer from this unresolved residue. And so they tried an exercise that I taught them called clearing the field. This is an exercise that my teaching partner in the feminine power work that I do, we created together. Her name is Claire Zammit. It's a wonderful exercise. And really, really disappears that toxic residence and residue in the field. So rather than try to kind of resolve the residue, as we're normally trying to do it, explaining and kind of processing our childhoods with each other, talking about our unhealed wounds, you know, how her father was never enough for her mother, or how his mother constantly criticized him when he was a kid. You know, they just kind of sat with each other, and they got related to the really hurtful impact that they had had on one another. And Robin listened deeply to Gary's experience of her continually demanding something of him that he just could not do. And she allowed it to touch her heart when he told her how demoralized he felt, how inadequate it made him feel year after year. And instead of coming back with what happened in her child and all the reasons why she was the way she was, she instead began to make an amends to him. She promised to adjust her expectations to be more appropriate to the man that he was from this moment forward, and to genuinely begin appreciating him and giving up her demand that he should be different than he was. And this really cleared the field for Gary and released him from the feelings of inadequacy that he'd been carrying all those years. And then Gary was able to listen to Robin as she poured out her heart on how disappointed she was after all she'd invested in the relationship, that he never really came through for her. And he let her experience touch his heart and even began to want for his former wife what she wanted for herself, and understood why their divorce was actually the right thing for the very first time. And his amends to her was to begin supporting her, to find a more suitable partner who was going to be able to really meet her emotional needs. And this cleared the field for Robin, and it released her from all of the guilt that she was feeling about ending their marriage. And now when they see each other, you know, when they're passing the children back and forth or at school functions, there is a genuine friendly feeling between them. And the children began doing better almost immediately. They felt the shift almost instantly, as if by magic. They just started showing up as much more joyful and playful. They started doing better in school. Right? So because they were able to navigate this huge transition with such skillfulness, life after their divorce became a kind of adventure rather than holding it as a failure. And they're both actually now in new relationships, dating people who are actually much, much better matches for them. So most of us want to know how we can create a clean slate and begin afresh and with all these ability to clear the field, and yet few of us really know how to evolve the dynamics between ourselves and our former partners in ways that are going to really clear away all of that toxic emotional residue and allow for something healthy to emerge. And so instead we'll often just sever the relationship in these kind of primitive and destructive ways that really do damage to ourselves and to everyone involved, maybe because we just don't know another way of doing it, right? So there's an effort to be made here to midwife your own evolution and the evolution of that relationship. And if you're devastated right now, if you're at one of the lowest points on your journey thus far, then really the only place to go is up. And you're either going to go up or you're going to go down, because you can't stay where you are. You have to choose. And you have to choose well, because there's a lot at stake. There's your own future at stake, and if there's children involved, there's the future of your children as well. And then I recall one pivotal moment in my own life where I realized that there was no one coming to make this better for me. And the only way I was going to be able to show up for myself in the way that I really needed to was to take on this very big commitment. It was really a commitment bigger than anyone had ever made to me before, bigger than either of my parents had ever made to me. And I knew in that moment that I was the only one who could do this for me. I had to be my own heroine. I had to give up waiting for someone else to come and slay that dragon for me. And we each have an inner guidance system deep down inside, which you know may or may not have been listening to much lately. It may be that you are where you are largely because you've not really been tuning into your deeper knowing, or you've been dismissing it and rationalizing all sorts of things because you didn't really want to hear what it was telling you to do. And then sometimes we just stop listening because we feel so betrayed and let down by life. You know, but now, really more than ever, I want to invite you to really reconnect to the wisdom that you have inside yourself and your own, you know, inner guidance that can get you home safely to where your soul is really urging you to develop and to grow. And your guidance might not give you the entire plan, like exactly here, you know, from A to Z, but it is going to tell you your next step if you tune in and listen to it, how to go from A to B and then from B to C. And sometimes you just have to choose to have faith and turn towards life, turn towards that knowing, that impulse to move forward, even though there's a tendency to want to contract and shut down and withdraw and withhold from life in the face of heartache. So you have a choice to make right now. And what's really important for you to decide is which part of you you're going to actually align with and empower, which part of yourself you're going to allow to decide the action that you're going to take next. But the amends to yourself that you need to make can actually start right now by making the choice to begin living your life in alignment with your own deeper knowing, from your knowing of the deeper truth of your own value and your own worthiness to have the love that is possible for you to have right now. And I just want to invite you to just kind of drop your awareness down into your body and just notice what's opening up for you in this conversation today. Notice the next step that's really speaking to you right now. What do you need to begin developing within yourself that's going to ensure that you will never, ever, ever again bring this kind of suffering into your life again? What's going to restore joy to your life and to the lives of your loved ones? And what's going to allow you to love even deeper next time and be loved in a way that you so deeply desire and deserve? And just connecting for a moment to the part of you that really understands this shattering as an opportunity to do things differently from now on. And the part of you that understands this devastation as the chance to get your life into integrity with the deeper truth of your own value and with the potentials that you hold for life and for love. And just saying yes to this part of you. Yes to the higher possibilities for life and love that you hold. Yes to the part of you that's yearning to break free and grow beyond these old patterns. Yes to your heart, which is longing to be liberated so that you can love fully and freely without fear. Just say to that part of yourself, I hear you. I'm listening. I'm ready. It's time for so much more. Now, I promised you earlier in this call that I was going to tell you in more detail what the conscious uncoupling process is and how you can learn more about it. And as I said earlier, relationships have changed more in the last 50 years than they have in the last 5,000 before that. And what we are yearning for or even expecting in our relationships today is so vastly different than at any other time in recorded human history. And according to the latest research, with our new higher expectations in relationships plus our longer lifespans, most of us are bound to go through at least two, possibly three, really major life-altering breakups in our lifetimes. And so it's really up to us how these breakups are going to play out and how we're going to handle them. And that's why it's so important that we avoid these mistakes and instead evolve the way that we are breaking up. And unfortunately, society has not given us the tools to know how to do a conscious uncoupling.
So despite the fact that I don't really want to be known as the breakup coach, I realize that this material is not really out there yet. And as a result, we are facing so much pain. And we are damaging each other and our children so deeply and so unnecessarily. And because of the deep cultural need that we have for this work, and because of all of the requests I've had to share this process, I've taken what I've discovered on how to consciously complete a relationship, and I have turned it into a 5-step process. And then I put it all together as a digital course that I'm calling Conscious Uncoupling, a 5-week program to release the trauma of a breakup, reclaim your power, and reinvent your life. And so I'm going to share briefly about the program that I've developed for you right now and let you know how you can participate. So if you're in front of your computer, I invite you to go to the course information page. You can get there by clicking on the link that says visit the Conscious Uncoupling course page that is right there on the webcast event page that you went to in order to join the webcast today. Or alternatively, you can type consciousuncouplingcourse.com right into your browser. You don't want to try looking it up on Google because you're not going to find it. But if you type it directly into your browser, consciousuncouplingcourse.com, be taken right to the page. And if you're not in front of your computer right now, please don't worry. Just listen in. I'm going to give you all of the details that you need to know about the program. So if you just scroll down the page, you're going to scroll all the way down to where you see, here's what you'll learn in my 5-week course. And I want to just share with you about these 5 90-minute course sessions and some of the amazing bonus offerings that we've put together for those of you who register by midnight Pacific time on Monday, December 23rd, that include the opportunity to be together live over our next 6 months. So we're going to get to that in just a moment. And each of these 5 course sessions cover one of the 5 conscious uncoupling steps. And each session is a combination of teaching points and stories and then guided exercises, all of them supporting you to make some really key core shifts in each week of the process. So let's look at week 1. First session, finding emotional freedom. I'm going to actually take you through a process this week that's going to empower you to transform the energy of the very big and intense emotions that you might be feeling and actually use that energy to catalyze positive change in your life. You're going to be empowered to use the intensity of the emotions to literally fuel a ferocious stand that you take for yourself and your life. So you're going to set an actual intention for how this is going to go from this moment forward, and you're going to learn some really core skills that are going to help you to do this, such as what I'm calling creating an inner container of kindness. It's a way that you can learn how to support yourself from the inside out as you're going through all the many things that you might be experiencing. And what course graduates say about this first week of the process is that it gave them instant relief. And it also gave them access to a new perspective on what they were experiencing that lifted any kind of shame or blame. So Emma from Australia wrote in to say, I cannot imagine how my life would be if I had not done this course. The shifts in my way of thinking and relating to my ex were so instant. There's no way I could have worked through my inner turmoil so quickly on my own. It got to the bottom of exactly what was going on for me and gave me the tools to dig myself out of the gutter and create the life I know I deserve. So in this first week of the program, you are going to discover a profound emotional freedom from the suffering that you're in that you probably did not even know was possible, given everything that you're moving through. And you're also going to be experiencing a very real and dynamic shift in your perspective in how you're holding this breakup that's going to release you from your negative, nasty judgments about yourself and begin to understand your own experience really as part of this larger emergent story of human relationships. And in session two, reclaiming your power and your life, this is where you will be empowered to take your power back from all the ways you've been giving it away in that relationship. And you're going to be supported to begin to see yourself as the source of the experience that you've had, where you can self-reflect in a way that's non-shaming, non-judgmental of yourself, but it's very objective, very clear, very thorough, and it's going to give you access to being able to make an amends to yourself from this moment forward, how you're going to show up. You're going to have tremendous clarity on how you can make sure that you never repeat these old patterns again. And so course graduates say that this week of the course liberated them completely from the burden of resentment or festering anger or any kind of revenge fantasies. It actually allowed them to fast track the completion process way beyond what they would have anticipated and in a way that left them at peace inside. So Beverly in Sacramento wrote to us to say, since attending the Conscious Uncoupling Course, the anger and resentment I felt is gone. In fact, all of the pain from everything is gone. So the core transformation that you're going to have access to in this session is going to be liberated from any sense of victimization. You're going to be empowered to reclaim your own personal power. You're going to also be able to have a lot of freedom moving forward because you're going to have tremendous clarity on exactly what you did to give your power away and exactly what you need to do from this moment forward to make sure you never do that again. Session three, breaking the pattern, healing your heart. So in this core session, you're going to see very clearly what we call your original source fracture. Wounding. That's the original break in your heart. And in seeing this clearly, you're going to have access to healing that source fracture once and for all, creating a shift at the deepest level in your overall disappointing patterns in love and how that story's gone for you, so that you can actually begin to weave a new story that is a complete departure from the patterns of your past. You're going to be empowered to know on the very deepest level of your being in a way that you can feel in your body what your true value is, and you're going to be empowered to begin showing up in ways that reflect this value. And you're going to be able to create a completely different experience in love moving forward and graduate from those old past patterns. So our course graduates say that in this session, they were able to graduate forever from the false beliefs that had plagued them as long as they could remember and move forward to create life and create love outside of the old patterns that had been thwarting their ability to be able to be in a happy, healthy relationship for years. And Beth from Colorado writes in, I can't imagine what things would be like now if I had not taken the program and learned what I did. I will never again self-abandon or overgive. I have spent a lot of money on courses and books in the last few years, and this program was by far the most effective and the most positively life-changing. So in this week of the program, I'm going to take you through a process that's going to bring you right back with tremendous clarity to see that original source fracture wounding, and we are going to heal it together so that you never again have to repeat that sad, disappointing story of heartache ever again. In session four, Becoming a Love Alchemist, in this session, you're going to be given the opportunity to complete all of the past karma, to clear away all of that residue of past mistakes, both your mistakes and the mistakes of others. So I'm going to teach you how to clear the field. And I'm going to give you a chance to begin again with a clean slate, where you are free and released from any and all emotional residue that's been in the field between yourself and your former partner. So basically, what you're going to be doing in this week of the program is unhooking your life from that old sad story. You're going to be planting seeds for a whole new life that's reflective of the truth of your own value and your own worthiness to love and be loved. Louise wrote in from Canada, "Because I have been able to consciously uncouple with honor and respect, remaining at my highest self, I have no regrets, and nothing is holding me back in life or in love." So in this course session, you are going to become free from any of the anchors and the structures that might have been entrapping you into a negative cycle with someone. You're going to get free of that negative cycle of old karma, and you're going to be empowered to learn how to be a love alchemist, a person who is able to clear the field of residue and make way for all that is good to come to you. And then in our final session, creating your happily even after life, this is where you are going to be empowered to set up brand new structures that are going to support a future where everyone gets to flourish and thrive. So this week, we include everyone that you care about who's impacted by your separation. If you have children, your children, your family, your extended family, your friends, your community. And we're going to be supporting you to renegotiate agreements between yourself and your former partner, as well as all of these people in your community, in order to line up with the best possible future for all. And in this course session, you're going to be invited also to do a conscious uncoupling ritual. You can do the ritual by yourself, or you can do it actually with your former partner, and you might even want to do it with those in your community so that you have witnesses to the completion process, so that everyone's holding space for the emergence and recreation of a brand new form between you, and for the evolution and up-leveling of your life across the board. So we're redesigning the structures of your life and providing the support that will allow for the healthiest, happiest evolution of life and love to occur, setting the stage for your happily even after life. And our course graduates seek to being completely unencumbered by anything in the past in moving forward. Their hearts are light. Their minds are free to focus on a new future. They feel a sense of possibility where they couldn't before because they were so heavy with grief for the future they were grieving that was not to be. So in this course session, it all transforms. You know, and Deborah from New York says, "What would otherwise have been a difficult and painful process was in fact a brilliant relief and opened up the path for me to call in the beautiful man who would eventually become my devoted husband." You know, most of us do not have a field of congruence around us for the new life that we are yearning to create. And so this week allows us to experience this clean and very conscious completion across the board, so that there's no residue, there's no one in your field is incomplete. And what that leaves you free to do is to move forward into your next relationship without bringing all that baggage with you. You're no longer in danger of harming your children by putting them between yourself and your former partner. You're no longer in danger of suffering years from prolonged and complicated grief. You are truly free to move forward in life, expanded, empowered, and even enhanced by this experience. So that's our core sessions. And what you're going to also receive, if you just scroll down to where it says, "Here's what you'll receive." So Conscious Uncoupling is delivered as a digital course, and that means that you can participate in the comfort of your own home and on your own schedule. See that we have these five course session audios where you're able to download them as soon as you register for the course. You can listen to them at your own pace completely. I'm recommending that you listen to one a week because there are exercises and practices that you're going to be doing with each course session to help integrate the learning, but you might wish to go through it more quickly, and you are welcome to do that. Or if you have a really busy schedule or you need more time with some of the processes, you can go more slowly. You can actually take as much time as you need. So that's the beauty of having all of the materials available in this digital format, is that you get to work at your own pace. You're also going to receive PDF transcripts of each course session so that you can make notes and refer back to the prior week's material whenever you need to. Wendy wrote in to say, my ex and I especially liked the transcripts, which made it easy to identify and return to the parts that needed my attention. We also have for you a really special opportunity to listen into recordings that I have made of live group coaching sessions. So in these sessions, I actually go into more depth of the principles and the teachings in response to the questions that former participants in the program were able to ask me. So you're going to get a lot of benefit from listening to the other people who've been through the course, where they're bringing their concerns to the table. You're going to find that you identify with them, that you had many of the similar questions, and so you're going to get a lot of support. In many ways, the course actually lands in your body, where you wake up and you get it on a deeper level in these group coaching calls. And finally, I'm including weekly practice and reflection questions to help you to integrate all of the material that you are learning. And when you sign up today, you're also going to be receiving some really amazing bonus audio seminars. The first one, Conscious Co-Parenting After Divorce, How to Keep It Simple, Safe, and Sane for the Kids When Life is Anything But. This is a masterclass with Susan Stiffelman, who is an internationally respected parent educator, therapist. She is the HuffPost's Parents Weekly parenting expert. Susan has put together an amazing seminar that's going to really help you to protect your children as you're going through the transition in your relationship. She's going to teach you how to talk to your kids about the reasons you're getting separated, how to respond with respect and honor, even if your ex is not responding that way or not behaving him or herself. You're going to get a lot of tips and a lot of tools on how to protect the children through this process and make sure that they are thriving through it all. The second bonus is Spiritual Divorce, Divorce as a Catalyst for an Extraordinary Life. And this is offered by the late Debbie Ford, New York Times bestselling author of the book Spiritual Divorce. It was one of her final interviews. It is drenched in wisdom that only Debbie could have brought forward. She teaches us how to use that painful ending to be a profound awakening, helps to actually reconnect us with our divine nature. She talks about how you can access divine guidance so that you can actually navigate your way through whatever you're going through so that you can recreate life more beautiful than ever before. And then when you register within the next 24 hours, you're going to receive a very special bonus by New York Times bestselling author Marcy Shimoff. It's called Forgiveness, the Fast Track to Greater Love. And this seminar is accompanied actually with a meditation process that you're going to be engaging with the Conscious Uncoupling course. It's going to give you practical tools on forgiveness and really take you by the hand and help you to come to terms with everything that has happened in a way that leaves your heart happy, healthy, whole, and free. Now, I also have a really special bonus for you. When you choose to pay with one payment, we're calling it our one pay bonus, and that is the Awakening Woman's Self-Empowerment Collection. That is, again, for just when you pay with one pay bonus, you get a $700 additional value The Awakening Woman Self-Empowerment Collection is a series of dialogues with Claire Zammit and myself. Claire is the founder, along with me, of the Feminine Power Programs. We have a seminar on the keys to optimal health and well-being. Authentic self-love, falling deeply and deliciously in love with you, is the foundation for giving and receiving love from others. We have a seminar on prosperity, a seminar on spiritual practice, a seminar on raising your happiness set points, a seminar on overcoming codependence. Really potent material, all for just paying for the program in one payment. So if this program calls to you, and if it is time for you to heal your heart and break through to a healthy, happy, whole life, I would be honored for you to join me. And you can do so by going to consciousuncouplingcourse.com, scrolling all the way down to the bottom of the page and choosing the payment option that is right for you. Just clicking on the peach button that takes you to our secure shopping cart where you can complete your registration today. And so I just want to conclude today with this thought for you. Because you have been broken open, you really do have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to return to your original source fracture wounding in your heart and to reset that original break correctly, perhaps for the very first time in your life, so that you can find true freedom and your heart can become stronger in the broken places and you can be happier in life and love than you have ever been before. May this be so for you. That is my deepest desire for you. So thank you so much for being with me today. I wish you deep love and all that is good, healthy, happy, wholesome, beautiful, and true. Lots of love.